Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to start tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews 11. Two engineers applied for a job at a computer company. They had identical qualifications, so to determine which one to hire, the firm gave them a test. Each did very well, except they both missed the same question. The manager called the first candidate and explained the results of the test and said, "I'm afraid we're going to have to fire the other applicant." Well, why? He's talking to him. He said, "We're going to have to hire the, we both got 9 questions right," said the one who was rejected. "We both got 9 questions right." Well, our choice isn't based on the correct answers, but on the question you both missed. Well, but if we both missed the same question, why would you choose him over me? Well, in answer to question 5 on the test, the guy we're hiring put down, "I don't know." And you wrote, "Neither do I." Oh, that was way funnier when I read it. I don't care what school you go to, that's called cheating. And if you were hearing some of the other students maybe try to, you know, kind of work on their case when they're talking about it, I really wasn't cheating. I was just relying on the other guy's knowledge. Now, I know that doesn't work in school. It doesn't work for a job. And I guess there are times you can get away with relying on someone else's knowledge. I do it quite often. I don't consider it cheating, but I like to rely on other people's knowledge. I like to know that they know what they're doing and I'm just going to be on their page. But that don't ever work when you're going and trying to get in a job. when you're trying to pass a test, it's not going to work. And relying on someone else's knowledge or experience is not a substitute for your personal knowledge that's needed in a lot of areas of life. And I'm saddened because as funny as that little story is, or was to me, I'm watching that scenario play out in the lives of Christians over and over again. People are relying on other people's relationship with the Lord for them to receive their blessing. And in Christianity, you can't get very far on someone else's knowledge. Let me just put that knowledge and let's call it faith, because faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word. And so knowing that someone else knows the word isn't good enough for your Christianity. And so I wanted to talk about Hebrews 11:6 tonight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, everybody knows that, but let's go on to read. It says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Now, I think we've got a lot of people that have come to God and believe in his existence. So that's an intellectual belief. But if you go on to read, it says, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Whew. We stop right there on that intellectual belief a lot of times, and we don't see that the person that it's talking about here, the person who is pleasing God by their faith, is rewarded because of their earnestly seeking him. I totally expect that tonight there might be someone listening to this podcast. There might be someone here tonight that would say, I'm not really earnestly seeking him, and I'm looking for rewards, and I'm hoping that someone else can see how I can get them because I don't see it myself. I want to encourage you tonight that God's rewards are for you. Christianity is an experience. It is a relationship. It is a day-in, day-out existence with you and God. Not you through someone else. It's you and Jesus. Jesus is the one we're through. That's how we get that connection. And so we've got to have an intellectual belief. I get that. But we need to go beyond that and earnestly seek him. Many people in Scripture, they bet their life on God. I've been thinking a lot about this. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. That's not my words. That's right out of the Bible. See, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he didn't have it right then. It was later that he received. See, he went, even though he didn't know where he was going, he just obeyed and went. How did that happen? Because he was so in tune, and it wasn't through anyone else. It was his relationship with God. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah. I love this. Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah, when warned about things that he hadn't even seen. You've got to understand, Noah had never seen rain, let alone a flood. And he's being warned about the water that's getting ready to come. In all his life, he'd never seen that. But by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. It wasn't by someone else's faith, and they told Noah. It was by faith, Noah. So let me just ask in your life, can you put by faith and then fill your name in? By faith, Ashley. What? By faith and your name. What have you done? Oh, but I'm not Abraham and I'm not Noah. They're children of God. And you just said, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. If you're a child of God, then this faith that you can live by is for you. By faith, Noah, in holy fear, it says he built an ark to save his family. These men bet their lives on God. You could say that their faith was more than enough for their actions. Is your faith more than enough for what you're going to do? Now, I understand you went to church tonight, or you came to church tonight. I understand that you came to church Sunday. You're involved in church. I get that. But it's not a church attendance. It's a faith experience. Oh, that was good. That wasn't even written down. That just kind of came out. See, that's the kind of faith I want in my life. I want to know how I can get that kind of faith. And I want to talk about this by using an example of Naaman in 2 Kings. You can turn there, chapter 5. Verse 1, great story. In his day, as you're turning there, Naaman, you need to know, was a success story. If he was alive today, his fame would have been equivalent to this major sports star or famous actor. He was a man who was going places. He was a leader of men. He was capable. He was well-liked. But Naaman had a problem. He came down with leprosy. That's a problem. In that day and age, that was a real problem. If you had leprosy, there was no answer that they had to say, oh, well, here's a pill. Now we've got leprosy still in our day and age, and we've got organizations that go and fight this, and there is some medicine available, and now we've got cures for it. But that day and age, we didn't know what we were going to do. And I mean, you had it till you died, and it was pretty much a death sentence. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Not a pill, but a man of God. So, and this young girl, I wish my master would go to this prophet, this man of God. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. And verse 5, the king of Aram told him, go and visit the prophet. I'll send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. So Naaman started out carrying his gift 750 pounds of silver. That's a lot. 150 pounds of gold. That's a whole bunch. And 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. Now, this was to the king. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him. "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me and he'll learn that there is a true man of God here in Israel. There is a true prophet right here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha, I love this story, he sent a messenger out to him with this message: "Go down and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you'll be healed of your leprosy." That's a pretty easy thing to do. You're already there. And Naaman gets angry and he stalked away. "I thought he'd certainly come out and meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord of God and heal me." Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Parpar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he simply says, 'Go and wash and be cured.'" So Naaman went down to the Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times, as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives whom I serve, I'm not accepting any gifts." And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with the earth from this place, and I'm going to take it back home with me. From now on, I'll never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master the king goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow to." "Go in peace," Elisha said. So Naaman started home again. I know that's kind of long, but I had to tell the whole story because this little slave girl had to like Naaman and wanted to see him healed. And she believed wholeheartedly that her God could do that. She believed if he'll just go. So Naaman didn't really believe her. He went and told the king. Said, "I'm not going to really go through this. I'm just going to go tell the king." King said, "Why don't you just go ahead and go? I'll take care of it and I'll send you a letter." And so he finally gets to the home of the prophet Elisha and something changes. He made his journey based upon the faith of a little girl. Here's the sad part. His faith wasn't big enough to receive instruction. We got a whole bunch of Christian people that their faith isn't big enough in their God to receive the instruction that God has for them. They're not willing to hear what God said. They're not willing to say, "Okay, that's what." It wasn't his faith. It was a desperate hope that he kind of went on. "I need something." It wasn't his faith that brought him to Elisha's door. The Christian people, it's their faith that needs to be moving them. But it's not. It's their desperate hope. I'm in desperation. I don't know what else to do. I've lost everything. I don't know what to do with my kids. I don't know what to do with my family. I'm just lost. I don't know what to do. Can somebody help me? And that's what's moving Christian people in today's world. And what I'm here to tell you is that's not what moves God. But there's a lot of people crying out, "God, I need your help. I need your help." And that's not what moves God. What moves God is faith. He turns around, he starts heading back because he's frustrated that he didn't get his answer. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, he's so frustrated. "Why won't you do this? I mean, Elisha, why would he tell me to go?" He wanted it done his way. And there's a lot of Christians that as soon as they don't get things done their way, they're wah, 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 and all of them. They're just frustrated. Why would Naaman go all the way to be healed and turn around to go home? He went all the way to get healed and then turns around because why? Because there was something standing between Naaman and God. And it wasn't God, it was Naaman. It was his pride. It was, it's got to be my way attitude. Things that caused what little faith he had to become very weak and incapable of accepting the blessings of God. The same thing that weakened Naaman is weakened in a lot of people's personal relationship with the Lord. He's not showing up the way you thought he should have. And you're expecting him to show out so you'll show up. And that's not the way God works. And I just want to encourage us. I don't want to rebuke anybody. I don't want anybody to feel that. I just want to correct some thinking. See, as we saw Naaman's faith was weak because of his pride, I don't want to get it having to be our way to remove us from what God has. For our families, for our individual lives, Naaman became angry. And he stalked away in 2 Kings 5:11. His sinful pride made it to where he walked away and he was this close. And he walks away. I'm so thankful that he had some people that he had around him that said, "Hey, Naaman, listen, if it would have been something really difficult, you'd have probably done it, wouldn't you? Why don't you just go do this? Why don't you just go do this?" And so he's, "Well, I'm might as well. I guess I'm here." And once again, someone else got him there. There's two people in this story. There's a lot of Naamans in the Christian world. Doing pretty good in life. You're someone. Got things going on. But you're only movable based on other people's faith. There's another person in the story, and it's a little girl who encouraged somebody that was way in a different position than she was in, but she gave him some encouragement based on her faith. Because she knew that she knew that she knew he could be healed. She knew it. Then there's the people that was under Naaman when he's ready to leave that said, "Whoa, wait a minute here. Why don't you try?" I don't know which one you might find yourself in that story. But whichever one it is, take what was happening there and say, "That's me. And I'm going to be effective for the kingdom of God." I like what Naaman did. I mean, Naaman, after he got healed, he said, "Whoa, I'm going to magnify the name of Jesus." But you know who's really the star in this story is the little slave girl. I mean, I appreciate Naaman. Appreciate what he did. But I appreciate the person who came and said, "Naaman, hey, if this had been hard, you'd have done it. Why don't you just do this easy?" I appreciate those two people who never get any recognition in this story. Pride's the result of an ungrateful heart. A proud person is someone who is accustomed to believing in themselves. And that's where Naaman was. He was really accustomed into believing in himself. And the only time he turned to God was for emergencies. Don't just turn to God when you're in a crisis. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, God tells the Israelites, "When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful," it says. "Beware that in your plenty you don't forget the Lord your God. Disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you. When you become full and prosperous and have built the homes to live in, when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful." I'm telling you, I'm talking to a church today that's walking in some prosperity. I know that. I believe that. I've watched your lives. And the Bible says, when that starts happening, be careful. Be careful. Don't become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Don't forget he led you through the gate in the terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness and food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you, to test you for your own good, and he did it all so you'd never say to yourself, "I've achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy." The proud man has grown accustomed to taking credit for their own accomplishments in life. They didn't need anyone else's help. They didn't need God. Think about Naaman. He goes to Elisha for healing. And after his healing, he's humbled in God's presence. And notice what he does. I see a humbled heart with Naaman. And once he gets humbled, he wants nothing but God in his life. "Can I take some of this dirt? home with me? Because that's where God really, I mean, he showed up and it was right here on this soil. I got to have some of that. And it was more important than the gold and silver that he was carrying. I need that dirt. I need that dirt. James 4:6. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Maybe you need some dirt tonight. I don't know. Pride's a terrible thing. It weakens our faith and damages our relationship with God. Most people who are proud don't even know it. The second thing that weakened Naaman's faith was the pride issue. And Naaman wanted God's blessings, but he only wanted them on his terms. I just wonder if Elisha knew that he would try and argue and just said, hey, here's the way it is. Take it or leave it. So I'm not going to go out and even meet him. I'm just going to send a messenger because he ain't going to listen to me anyway. You know, there's a lot of people who I know that are in life that you have that thought about. I have that. They aren't going to listen to me anyway. They aren't going to listen to me anyway. But somebody might. Somebody might. I'm glad the messenger went out because somebody in Naaman's group heard the word. You know, not every time you go to church looking for something is for you. It may be for somebody else you're around. When you're sitting under the word at home, you're like, I don't understand this. Maybe it's for somebody you work with. Maybe it's for, I don't know, but there are times you're going to hear the word of God be brought. And then it'll come about for someone else. God basically said through Elisha, it's this way. And there ain't no other way. He didn't use the word ain't. There's no other way. And there's no other way but through Jesus. Naaman wanted God to heal him, but he didn't want to have to obey God to get it done. And that's where we find ourselves. G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton. You got to say that word right. He said a quote, and I wanted to give him credit because I think this is profound. Christianity has not been tried and found empty. It has been found difficult and left untried. Let me say that again. Christianity has not been tried and found empty. It's been found difficult and left untried. People don't want to do what God says. I just want to do it my way. I was looking up the top spiritual leaders in our world, and there's a whole bunch of different lists that says the top 5 or top 10 spiritual leaders. Let me just tell you a name I found on a lot of them. I found the Dalai Lama. I found the Pope. I found Oprah. I really did. She was on a couple of lists higher than Billy Graham. Are you kidding me? See, there are Christians who'd rather be guided by Oprah than by God. That's sad, but it's true. I mean, look, there are Christians out there who prefer Dr. Phil to the Bible. There are Christians who religiously read their horoscopes, but not Scripture. Come on. I'm telling you, there are Christians who spend more time listening to a source other than God for answers to their life. And we live in a world of information. I know that. It's just around the corner. Naaman was willing to reject God's instruction because he had got used to listening to spiritual leaders. Or this is what I learned when I was younger. And he ought to be able to wave a hand and get me healed. I shouldn't have to go down and dip in a river. Where'd he come up with that? That was the man of God speaking. That's where he came up with that, directly from God. And we're sitting here questioning all the time things that God has said. This is what we are to do. Obeying God is not always that hard, but it can be a little difficult if you don't understand. But once you get it, you can do it. It's not, I mean, there are some things that are tough, but there are things about God that just seem sometimes to defy the wisdom of this world. I wrote down a bunch of scriptures because I thought this will make sense. I mean, consider these realities that God's word says this is how we're to think. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we see unseen things. That's a little weird with the world's conventional wisdom. Romans 6:16, we conquer by becoming slaves. Luke 9:48, we are made great by becoming like little children. Matthew 23:12, we are exalted by becoming humble. 1 Corinthians 1:20, we become wise by being fools for Christ. You sit there and you read this and you go, as a Christian, well, I know what that means. Good. We've got to understand that we're not operating on the world's wisdom. 2 Corinthians 12:5, we find victory by glorying in our infirmities. John 12:24-25, 2 Corinthians 4:10, we live by dying. Acts 20:35, we receive more blessings from giving than by receiving. Boy, as you just start thinking about the ways of God, it sometimes defies worldly wisdom. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't. Until you spend a lot of time with God and you start to see the promises come from His wisdom, not from the world's. And so we got to quit expecting the world to provide our answers when God said, I've got you. I've got you. Think about Naaman. Was it the Jordan River that cleansed him from his leprosy? No. Was it dunking himself 7 times that removed it? It was obeying God's command and trusting that God would be faithful to His word. And we've got a lot of people saying, God, tell me why, tell me why. And we're just doing what Tim talked about Sunday. We're just hanging out around the same mountain. And he's saying, you need to break camp and move on. And what I want to talk about is, today, here's how you do that. You start obeying the word of God. Well, it's hard. I get that. Sometimes it's very difficult. But you got to die to some of those emotions. You're going to have to move forward. And, well, I just don't know if I can. I don't. What I'm telling you is you can, because I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. See, you keep saying that. I'm a child of God. Put you on some worship music. Get in tune with Him. And then you start living by the word, not by what the world might say is going. That's all I got tonight. But I think it's really important that we understand the things of God. The things of God are more than enough.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.